of Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, if you have a legal question, if I can help you in any way, just give us a call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. Your question can be just about any area of law. If I can get you pointed in the right direction, I certainly will. If I don't know the answer, hey, I will tell you that immediately, but also try to help get you pointed in the right direction and also get you some help. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, real estate matters, family law matters, can be about traffic, can be about personal injury, can be real estate, can be just about any area of law. You have a toll-free number. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to our first caller, Rosa, in Sun City Center.
Hello.
Hey, Rosa.
My question is about a will.
Okay.
My mother left the house to the three children, me and my two brothers. My two brothers have passed away, and I'm the sole survivor. Is that house all mine, or do I have to share it with his, with their children?
It depends on the language in the will.
So will said divided equally between the three children. All assets were divided equally between the three children.
All right. It's the words right after the three children that are most important. So
nothing was there, period.
Nothing was there, period. So it doesn't say it doesn't say surviving children.
No, it does not.
It just says the three children.
Correct.
And both of the children died before the parent. Your mother?
My mother died, and my two brothers were still living. Now, they have passed away.
Okay.
And the house is still there in my mother's name.
Okay. So, since they were both living when mother died, their share vests with them. So, their one-third share would be in their estate and be left to their children.
I see. So, I only have one-third then.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, do I have to, now I want to give my share to their children, so mm-hmm. do I have to have an amendment to my will to give my share, or can I just leave it and they will take
well,
it
let
up?
Me. Okay, so no probate proceeding started when your mother died?
No.
And who is the personal representative of named in the will? The executor, personal representative.
He's passed away.
My brother. Was there a backup?
No. Me. I was the backup.
You were the backup personal representative?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay, so you would need to take some action to get this all settled. If you just die, then they're going to have to probate your estate and mother's estate before the property can pass on. It's going to be a lot easier for you just to deal with this while you're living.
That's what I want to do. I want to know. You are my attorney.
Okay, well, make
did
an
I
appointment.
Come into your office.
Yeah, I could see
you.
I'm
write up a amendment or something.
Yeah, you can come in. You could see me this Wednesday. I'll be there this Wednesday, and I can leave your share to them. But your mother's estate needs to be probated to get the shares out of her name. Get the house out of her name. Did she live in Florida too?
No, Mississippi.
Okay, well, I can sit down with you and guide you. We're going to have a Mississippi attorney help you get the property out of your mother's name. And that's going to make it far easier for everyone not to have to probate her estate after everyone's passed away. Because
right.
They're going to still have to probate her estate to have the property transferred to a third to you and a third to the children of each of the two deceased brothers. It'd be better to have all that. I can help coordinate all that for you, though, if you like.
Okay. Well, Well, let me see.
Just call the office, and I'm you know, doing a live radio show. I can't schedule you.
Yeah, right. Okay.
If you call my office Monday morning, they can get you on my calendar for Wednesday morning. I'm sure I've got some openings right now.
So you're here in Sun City on Wednesdays?
Yes, I'm there on most Wednesdays. Sometimes my schedule changes a little bit, but I know I'll be there this Wednesday.
Okay. Well, right. Thank you for your help.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Law office is open. If you have a question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. You are listening on multiple stations all over Florida. We're also streaming live on Facebook Live and WeBeamTV.com. So if you want to watch the show a little bit, you could do that if you have access to a computer and can get on Facebook or WeBeam TV. If you're listening, we're on like 12 stations all around Florida. Glad to be here. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kathleen in St. Petersburg.
Hello.
Hey, Kathleen.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I have only one daughter, and my accounts are in trust for her.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my pension and survivor, survivor rights, I suppose. Everything is in her name. Do mm-hmm. I ever need to do anything else?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a house?
No.
You rent?
Well, I'm living with her, actually.
I see. Well, you should have a simple will just to cover unexpected things under those circumstances. You should have a durable power of attorney, health care surrogate, so she has the legal authority to make health care and other decisions for you. Probably should have a living will that says if you're terminal, vegetative, unconscious, end stage, you don't want to be artificially prolonged. Although you have beneficiaries on things, sometimes a trust is better. But, you know, if I answered your question, do those things go through probate? No. Most of my clients I would tell a trust is better because the assets in a trust could be used for your benefit while you're living, but maybe incapacitated. But you need at least a minimum of a will and a power of attorney, health care surrogate, and living will.
Oh, so because the state of Florida will execute a will or write a will if you don't leave anything. Is that correct?
Yes, but that's not to say your assets that you have beneficiaries on or paid on death on would be affected by that. But if you died with anything just in your name, then the state of Florida, being a deceased person's name, and if you didn't have a will, the state of Florida, wills don't cost very much. It'd be just wise to have one in place just in case.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Pat in Haines City.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a quick question. I live here in Florida. I have a son that lives in Georgia. I'm in the process of helping him buy a manufactured home for his property, which is in his name, in Georgia. And my question is, should the title read his name and then the word or the word and?
This is a manufactured home?
Yes.
I would put or.
Put or?
On a manufactured home, I would put or. Do you? Are you going to own the land underneath of it?
The home is going to go on his land.
His land, okay. Yeah, just do or.
Just do or, and that way, if something happened to me, I would want it to totally be his.
Yeah, or means 100% would be his.
And if something happened to him, he wants it to go to me.
Okay, or would take care of that.
Great, thank you.
Now, let me ask you one other question that might be of concern. Is the value of the mobile home more than $30,000?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say, just for conversation purposes, it's 50.
Okay.
And you're giving him half. So that's a $25,000 gift, and you can only give away $15,000 without having to report it to the government on a 709 gift tax return. You can elect not to pay the tax on the difference, which would be $10,000. You can elect not to pay the tax on that and use up part of your lifetime exemption, which now is $11 million a person. So most people would do you have to do a 709 gift tax return, just elect not to pay the tax and use up part of your lifetime exemption.
Really? A 709 form?
Yeah, gift tax return, IRS form.
IRS gift tax. And so a gift tax
mm-hmm.
form. Okay, but that way we wouldn't have to pay tax on half of it?
Yes.
What if I was paying more than half of it?
Well, you figure out the value of your gift to him, which would be half of the value of the property.
Can it be more? Can it be 75?
Oh, yeah, sure. So you can give away $15,000, let's say $80,000 for simple math here.
Okay.
So you're going to be half owner, he's going to be half owner, so you're giving him a $40,000 gift on an $80,000 property.
Right.
You don't have to report the first $15,000. But you do on anything over. So in this case, your overage is $25,000. So you'd have to report a $25,000 gift.
Okay.
But you can elect not to pay a tax.
Okay.
And use up part of your lifetime exemption.
Okay. Well, when you say use $15,000 for not to pay tax on, would that be to the...
No, you're allowed to give $15,000 with no reporting.
With no reporting. Okay, but if we're paying cash for this, do we have to do anything?
Yeah, you still do the gift tax return.
You still have to do a gift tax return?
Yes, ma'am, because you gave a gift of more than $15,000.
Well, who would I have to pay the tax to?
Ma'am, you don't have to pay a tax. You elect not to pay the tax, but you have to file the form.
Oh, you file the form, but you don't have to pay the tax
of
it.
Right, you elect not to pay the tax. But you're using up part of your lifetime exemption, but you have $11 million exemption, so that shouldn't be a problem, probably.
Right. And does that mean to the person that I'm buying it from?
No, you are making a gift to your son, so it only involves you.
It only involves me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It has nothing to do with the actual purchase of buying it.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's give out the numbers. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You're listening on multiple stations. In Tampa, we're broadcasting on 570-910. We're broadcasting on 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. We are broadcasting on multiple stations, Sun City Center Community Station. We have a Crystal River station. We have WBOB in Jacksonville. No matter where you're listening, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We're also streaming live video on WeBeamTV.com and Facebook Live. If you're on the Ask an Attorney page on Facebook Live, you should be. If you're not, you can just send me an invite. We'll get you connected to that. And let's go to our next caller, Dennis, calling from Clearwater.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, you've got a great service with your program. We really appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
I have a trust with my partner, and I thought I heard you say last week that if there's Medicaid going to be involved, that they only look back for personal gifts.
Well, there's a 5-year look-back period on Medicaid planning.
Right.
Which means that if you made a gift over the last 5 years, that could count against you.
Okay, but I'm not so much worried about gifts, but all the other accounts, you know, brokerage account and bank accounts, that type of thing.
Well, have they been owned? Were they created recently and you added a name to it?
No, they've probably always been joint accounts.
Okay. Well, that wouldn't be a gift. If you created a joint account and it's more than 5 years ago, then there's not a gift involved because the 5-year gift back period pertaining to Medicaid would not count against them in that
right,
case.
Right, but my only concern is that setting up the trust here and also in another state before I moved here, I was told that everything was subject to the 5-year look back for Medicaid. Not just gifts, but every account that I had. So I had to change everything into to say that it was going to the trust or transfer on death or something. You see what I'm
saying?
Okay,
do you have an individual trust?
No, it's just a joint.
It's a joint trust.
Yes.
All right, so I'm not understanding your question. So you have a joint trust, and you put accounts in the joint trust.
Right.
If you inherited money, for example, and put that into the joint trust, that would be a 50% gift because you both are grantors, owners of the trust.
Okay. I'm not looking to inherit anything.
If you acquire new money and put it in a joint trust, that would probably be considered a gift.
Oh, okay. So how do I avoid the look back for any of that if one of us has to go on to Medicaid?
There's going to be a look back on five years of anything you did. You could have your own trust.
Well, I didn't want to set up another one, you know.
Yeah. Is anyone in imminent probability of going into a nursing home?
Not imminent, no, but it could happen the next couple of years.
All right, well, the spouse can keep the home. That's an uncountable asset.
Right.
The community spouse, there's a nursing home spouse and a community spouse. A community spouse can keep $130,000 or so, plus the home, plus the car, and those are all non-countable assets.
Okay. But we've got a stock portfolio.
Okay, but have you owned it for more than 5 years?
Yes.
Then I don't think there would be a gift problem.
Okay. Even though if we earn money on that and it stays in there, it wouldn't be considered a gift.
No.
50-50.
Okay. No. Mm-mm.
All right. So as long as everything is says to the spouse upon death of the other person, or and then the second beneficiary would be the trust, then we should be all right.
Yeah, but if the spouse went into a nursing home and then you left the spouse money on a beneficiary, for example, that could mess up their Medicaid. If one of you went into the nursing home, we would change the plan a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll call you then.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Venice.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good, Mike. And you?
Good, good. I just had a quick question about one of your earlier calls. I am in the RV business myself. So when you talked about titling a mobile home or manufactured home that a mother wanted to purchase together with her son and put the title in or,
mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that document alone be the end of all means there as far as I think you mentioned she would have had to do a gift tax even though she had an $11 million exemption. But technically, doesn't that document stand on its own that either person has title to that unit and shouldn't have to do any further than that and that one passes away or one wants to sell it?
Yeah, or means either one could sell it, even if they're both living, one could sell it.
Right, you know, they both have equal ownership to it, so why would they have to file some kind of gift tax if someone passed away?
Well, we're not talking about a gift tax when one passes away. We're talking about a gift tax upon the purchase. So let's use our last example, $80,000 RV in this case.
Okay, right.
And it's all her money,
mm-hmm.
and she buys it and puts it in her name and her son's name.
Right.
Or, well, that's the son is at least at minimum a half owner, so she basically gave him $40,000. And the rule is that basically you can't give away more than $15,000 to while you're living without incurring a gift tax form to be filed with the government because that's all somewhat ties to Medicaid sometimes because you can't give away all of your assets and become poor one day and qualify for Medicaid the next.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a gift tax requirement. If you can give away $15,000 with no reporting, if you give away more than $15,000, you do a 709 gift tax return. You don't have to pay a tax. You elect not to. But you use up part of your lifetime exemption. But she basically, in this case, gave her son $40,000. Wouldn't matter whether it's cash or half interest in an RV.
Huh. I see. So
now, if it's between spouses, it doesn't count. That rule doesn't count. This was a mother-son question.
Okay, I get it. So that was a caveat right there that being it was a son and not a spouse.
Right. Yeah, a spouse. Okay. You can give your spouse an unlimited amount of money.
Right. Okay.
With no tax reporting.
And is there, I mean, if she hadn't known that, and because I have people a lot of times will title things in a parent and a child's name, and I mean, is there a recourse on them?
There's only a recourse if the IRS did an audit.
I got it.
And found out about it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah, thanks for your time. Appreciate
it. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Jerry in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. This is Jerry. I'm calling on, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling on behalf of my sister and my brother-in-law. They had an independent appliance serviceman come out to their house over the weekend, last weekend. Their refrigerator went down. They had a guy come out and look at the refrigerator. When he got the refrigerator, he got the refrigerator running, but it still needed a part. And while he was there, apparently the air conditioning service went out on him, too. So he had took a look at that, and he told him he could probably come back with a part later that night, evening or the next day, to fix the air conditioning system. And they waited the next day. He never called. He put a few calls into him, and he never called back. And so the following day, they tried to get in touch with him again. He never called back. So finally, they had to get another air conditioning company to come in and repair the air conditioning on the house. And they're just wondering what's the best way of going. They had already paid him for the repair on the refrigerator and the air conditioning with a credit card. He charged him like over $700. And he's not voluntarily offered to return her money to him yet.
Send him a certified letter demanding the money back. Give them a time period to do so. And then if they don't, your option probably would be small claims court, which you can do without incurring an attorney fee.
Okay. A small claims court, what's the fee involved with that?
For seven, I don't have it memorized, but it's probably a couple hundred dollars.
Really? What about sending him an email instead of a certified to begin with?
You could send him an email, and if you don't get a response in a day or two, send him a certified letter.
Okay. All right,
and then you can go to small claims court and get the forms and fill them out and send him a copy of what you're getting ready to do without filing, and just give him a last ultimatum date to pay you back.
I see. Okay.
You can also contact Better Business Bureau. Some of these television programs have consumer-type reporters.
Right, like Ada on your side.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So you can cause up all kinds of stuff, you know, on something like this if you want to.
Okay, sounds good, Joe.
All right.
Appreciate the advice. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Laura calling in Sarasota.
Hey, Joe, my mom had her assets in a Florida trust, and she unfortunately passed last week.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'm the trustee of her trust, and I'm just not sure exactly what I need to do. Do I need to file paperwork, or do I just start selling her assets? And also, what accounting do I have to give to her heirs?
Well, the heirs are entitled to a full accounting, so keep good records. Normally, when someone dies and someone's named a successor trustee, the first best advice I could give you is to maybe go back to the attorney that drafted the trust. Okay. If that attorney's not available, you can choose another attorney. I meet with clients all the time with, you know, even although other attorneys drafted trusts. So you meet with an attorney. Attorney will file the will with the court, the last will and testament, the pour over will that went along with the trust. And what we do is we give clients a list of instructions. We follow a trust notice, which is required. What a trust notice says, you know, mom died, had a trust, you're the trustee, put your name and address on the public record so a creditor can find you. That's a requirement under statute to do that. So if we met with you or you met with the attorney, most likely, I know what we would do, so I'll just tell you what we would do. We would follow the will, do the trust notice, give you some instructions on how to proceed, and talk to you about how you do the accounting and close down the estate.
Okay. So, do you have an office in Sarasota? Or
we have an office in Lakewood Ranch.
Okay. Do you have that number?
I'll give out the number. Right when you hang up, I give the number for everyone.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, if you'd like to contact our office for an appointment, our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. 226-3529. We have offices, several offices in Pinellas, Hillsboro, Manatee, Lakewood Ranch. We have offices in Lakeland, Davenport, Clearwater, the Villages, Leesburg, Palm Coast, Jacksonville. We have offices pretty much over the good part of the state of Florida. Our toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. A lot of our questions this morning have been on estate planning. If you'd like to learn more about estate planning, we have a full-size poster sheet on estate planning. It tells you all about wills and trust, and also has all of our offices and phone numbers and locations and website information and radio shows. If you'd like it, I'd love to send it to you. You can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, I need your name and address to mail you the poster sheet, joe@attypip.com, joe@attypip.com. You can text me for it at 727-667-3967. Hey, phone lines are open here at the radio station. If you'd like to call the show, it's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877 here at the radio station. 877-943-9673. And let's go to Mike in Palm Harbor.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, just a couple of quick questions. The first one being... I went ahead and I had two investment properties, one a piece of land, the other one a condo, and I went ahead and quit claimed it to my son. Is that tax applicable?
Yeah, that's a gift. So, yes, you have the proper thing to do would be get those appraised and fill out a 709 gift tax return. You're not going to have to pay a tax. You can elect not to, but you've made a gift of over $15,000, so, yes, that would apply.
For a lifetime deal, 709.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't record them. I mean, I know we don't have any liens on it. We own it free and clear, and there's no liens on it or anything. Does it have to be recorded? He can record it at any time? Or?
Well, it's not a completed gift. Okay, did you deliver the deeds to him?
Yeah. He's got the originals.
And why wouldn't you record him now?
Well, I just hadn't gotten around to it. He's not in and you got to do it in the county you're in, right?
The county the property is located.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. So that's like Pasco, and he's up there in Chihuahua or wherever it is. So they just never got around to it.
Well, you could deliver
the...
Well, okay, so it's still, if it's been delivered, it's still a valid gift. The problem with not recording them now is that if something else happens in the interim before recording, that could have a priority. So I wouldn't, if it's a valid gift.
Well, that's one of the things. I might want to go, you know, if I get to the point, I might need to sell one of them, you know, being it's in the family, you know. and then in a case like that,
I think since you delivered them to him, it's a valid gift.
Right.
I think his problem would be if you wanted to sell them prior, or you get sued or something, and a judgment comes in on the records, and you're still deemed the owner on public records, you've just caused a problem by not recording them.
So I can take them down. I can get them back and go down and record them myself
could.
In the county. Right.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and the other quick question I had on your will, last will and testimony, I've got that all worked up and everything. Does that have to be my signature? Would have to be notarized on that?
When you have a will notarized, it becomes self-proving, so you never have to find or locate the witnesses. It's not absolutely necessary to make it a valid will, but I think it is important to have it notarized to make it self-proving, so you don't have to find with locating the witnesses upon death.
But I have to have two witnesses along with the will, or no? I know I did that on the quitclaim. I had to have two witnesses in there.
Oh, yeah, will has to have two witnesses, and there has to be special language in there that they were in the presence of each other and you at the time of the signing.
I got you.
Wills don't cost very much. You know, if I were you, I would have an attorney. We charge $125 for a will. Then you don't have to worry about all these little things that people don't do properly when they try to do their own will or even do it online.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was basically using the one I had in Texas, but since I moved over to Florida.
Woo, Texas is a community property state with, like, total different laws than Florida. So I wouldn't copy a Texas will.
Yeah, community property. I know I took that part out because, you know, she's deceased anyway, so it's only me.
Best thing you do is have an attorney draft a will for you. It doesn't cost much. Can be done probably in one visit.
Okay.
And at the same time, discuss with the attorney whether or not, I don't know what else you own besides these two properties you gave away, but discuss with the attorney whether a trust would be better. Do you own a home, for example?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So your home would be subject to some type of probate proceeding if you die with just a will. There's a petition to determine homestead and all kind of things an attorney would do, and the fees for that would be, we charge like a minimum fee of $2,500.
Okay.
Could be more. So you might want to discuss with the attorney whether you would need a trust instead of just a simple will.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you'd like to call the show today, we have about 15, a little less than 20 minutes left in the show. And you have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. All right, so let's go to Luz. Hey, Luz.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is thus, if there has been a situation where a power of attorney has been taken through any court, whether it's in the United States, how do you get out of that, and what do you do about that to form some kind of a future?
All right, well, I'm not sure, I'm not positive I understand your question, but let me say that a power of attorney can be revoked at any time by the creator of the power of attorney. So if you gave me a power of attorney, and now you don't want me to have it, you could sign another document called a revocation of power of attorney, and that power of attorney would be revoked. And then if the power of attorney has already been recorded, then you would record the revocation of the power of attorney, and you would tell every bank or wherever you were concerned that somebody that I might use your power of attorney, you could revoke it and then tell the bank that you revoked it so they could adjust their records accordingly.
I see.
So you gave someone a power of attorney, now you don't want that person to have a power of attorney, and that person recorded that power of attorney on the public records.
Well, I was coaxed into it.
Okay, but the answer to your question is just do a revocation of power of attorney.
Through another attorney, through one of your attorneys?
You do a revocation of the document of the person you named in the power of attorney. You do a revocation document revoking that power and that person having that power and make that a public record as well.
And how do you make it a public record?
Well, the attorney that would do the revocation for you can do that. Then just send it to the courthouse with a filing fee.
And who does he contact? The different banks?
Okay, we're talking about you, right?
Me.
You would
who does the attorney, my attorney, contact?
You and the banks? Attorney would work out who you would contact and who they would contact. All right?
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Phone lines are open at 877. If you want to call the show, ask an attorney all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Phone lines are open here at the radio station at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. We'll give out the office number right after we talk to John in Bradenton.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Title for either an automobile or a mobile home. If I die and it's just got my name on the title, nobody else, can my trustee or my executor take that with a copy of my death certificate to the DMV and say, here, you know, retitle it to the end of the trustee's name?
Yeah, automobile titles and mobile home titles are basically the same type of title, and that's one of the exceptions where most of the time there's no probate required on that. Okay. So what the personal representative named in your will would do would take your death certificate and a copy of the will, and actually you might be even able to skip the step of having it going into the trust. For example, a spouse can get a car transfer to their name without a probate proceeding. And the DMV has a procedure where if, you know, you have three beneficiaries, they can assign power of attorneys to the personal representative to be able to transfer the car. I mean, there are ways to get around automobiles and mobile home titles going through the probate process.
Okay. Would it be easier if I put on the title my name and the word or to the, you know, the executor of my estate?
Well, on an automobile... one of my questions earlier concerning the mobile home, so I wasn't worried about liability issues necessarily with a mobile home, but on the automobile, if you put someone's name on a car now,
yeah,
then they are an owner now, and if you're driving and have an accident, they could be sued.
Oh, okay.
So you don't really want to put someone else's name on a car now.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
And the car can still avoid probate, so you should be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 13 minutes or so left in the show. If you'd like to call, the phone lines are open right now. We've buzzed through a whole bunch of calls, but the phone lines are open now. If you'd like to call the show, 877 is the radio show phone number, 877, toll-free, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call our office to make an appointment, we have a toll-free number. We have multiple offices all over the state of Florida. Several offices in Pinellas, Hillsborough, Polk Counties, offices in Lakewood Ranch, the Villages, Claremont, Leesburg, Palm Coast, Jacksonville, Trinity. We have offices in Pasco as well. Wesley Chapel area, we have offices there. Our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-35, Zephyr Hills, it's in Pasco. 1-800-226-3529 is the office number, 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to get the free estate planning poster sheet, I'd love to mail that to you. You can call the office and request it, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200 if you're listening and wrote down the number 200 for the extension 200 for the appointment or the poster sheet or both. If you'd like to email me, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe at attypip.com. Or you can text me for it at 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. Phone lines are open here for the remaining 10 minutes. If you want to call the show again, it's 877, radio station number 877-943-9673. Let's go to Chris in Tampa.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a just a quick question for you. I do need to come in and make a trust with somebody, and I'm probably going to call your office this week. But what do I need to have together to bring in so that I have the documents you need to be able to make that trust? Do I need to have exact bank figures and
no.
You know, financial figures, or what do I need?
All right, so I need for you to be able to tell me who you would like to put in charge of the estate or trust with a backup. So I need two names of the personal representative, successor, trustee that would take over. I need a list of beneficiaries and either what dollar amount or what percentage they would get. Sometimes you can do smaller dollar amounts off the top, like the grandchildren, you know, $5,000, $10,000 each surviving grandchild, the balance of my estate, three equal shares to the three children. I would need the names of the beneficiaries. We have a backup a backup beneficiary. So if, you know, one third to X, if X is not living, then to their children or the other beneficiary. So I need some thought about that. Just a one-page, very general summary of assets would help me help you on getting assets into the trust and what assets go in and what assets don't go in.
Okay.
If you come to my Largo, since you're in Tampa, if you could come to my Sun City Center office or my Largo office, and we could probably get the documents done in one visit.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to the Tampa office, I don't go to that office. We have another attorney that covers that office. If you come to Largo or St. Pete, you'd be dealing with me, and we could get it done either same day or within a week.
Okay. That'd be great. And then if I have the if I have that information and I have a general idea of what I'm doing, how do I decide if I want to put something in a trust or not? Is that based on the value of it, or is it what's that based on?
Well, once you create a trust, the assets that go in the trust are checking, savings, money market, CDs, brokerage accounts. What doesn't go in generally are retirement accounts, annuities, and life insurance. However, okay. Every case is a bit different, of course. And if you have reasons to stretch out the estate to a beneficiary, there are ways to get those assets in the trust as well. But that would be just something we discuss, you know, at the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call the show, we have about 8 minutes left in the show. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open on Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, going to CC in New York.
Yes, hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What part of New York are you calling from?
Right in Manhattan.
All right. And you're listening on your computer?
Yeah, on my mobile, yeah.
All right, great.
I got your email yesterday, and I've listened to you in the past, not quite a while. And the reason I listened to begin with several years ago is because of a trust that was developed. And when my mother-in-law passed away, originally the trust was 50-50 between myself and her niece.
Mm-hmm.
Who she was very close with. You know, we had a long-distance relationship. But anyway, but when my father-in-law passed away, that portion of the trust, because there were two, one that was for him and one remaining for her, when he passed away, within 3 months, that trust was changed. So from 50-50, it went to 75-25.
All right, the trust wasn't changed after he died, though, right?
Yes, it was.
Well, a trust becomes irrevocable upon death.
Well, not his trust. Her trust changed.
Oh, she changed.
She changed. There was an A and B.
She changed her trust. She couldn't have changed his.
Right. Sorry
okay.
about that. Yeah,
all right.
So she
okay.
changed her trust from 50-50 to 75-25.
Right.
Being 75% for the niece and 25% for my daughter, which is fine, you know, like that, as far as switching out the names. But the thing that really irked me was on that trust, it was for college expense, perfect, great, 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 whatever. But should my daughter decease before the age of 30, then that portion would go to my her niece's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, you know, I just felt, oh, my gosh. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because I was able to get a copy of her death certificate, which mentioned dementia as well as you know, I don't say that's the cause of death, but you know, her other ailments, her heart and everything like that. So, and I was a little perturbed by that because it made me think between June of that year and then September, she had changed her trust from the 50-50 to 75-25.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that, you know, whatever.
All right. Well, the most common reasons that wills and trusts get contested
mm-hmm.
are incompetence or undue influence. So, for example, if the one who got 75% had taken her to the law office, that'd be a strong indication of undue influence.
I wouldn't know if she did or not.
Yeah, so, but if you wanted to contest, you contest, file a lawsuit, contest, and then get the person under the deposition if you strongly suspect that what happened. Also, if you get two doctor letters to sign something that say basically she was incompetent at the time that she signed the new will, unable to understand a legal document, then you know you have to do basically one of those two things, incompetence or undue influence.
And, you know, I received her whole entire hospital visits, but the doctor, I did try to do what you just mentioned about reaching the doctor, but he had went from one location to another, and then I lost track. And because of the fact that the niece is the,
personal representative, executor,
yeah,
trustee.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So I would need her permission to get that. I was lucky to get the medical records to begin with, you know, because...
Yeah, well, all the hospitals have privacy concerns.
Exactly,
HIPAA laws. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, you know, bouncing it between a long-distance, long-time friend of my husband deceased, because my deceased husband would have been the one who would have... gotten all of this, and you know, the niece wouldn't have been in the picture at all.
Yeah. So all this. So, what state did this all happen in?
It happened in Florida.
Oh, this really?
In Florida, yeah, right in. I don't want to say where, but yeah, right in Florida. And as far as like the paperwork and all that, where they lived and everything like that. So, you know, and I just didn't know. I felt like, you know, the opinion that was given to me was like, well, you have a 50-50 chance, and chances are you're not going to win on this because of the fact that...
It all depends on if you can prove incapacity with doctor statements.
Yeah.
Or you get them in a deposition, and the niece happened to take the, you know, the person to the attorney's office when the change was made, so she was sitting there, so that's a good undue influence argument.
So it's either incompetence or undue influence.
Yeah, those are the two main reasons that wills and trusts get contested.
Right, and then the trust company, dealing with their attorney, the attorney for, you know, my deceased mother-in-law, they said, oh, they're a good company, lawyer, whatever like that, you know, and I was like, oh, my gosh, okay, I'm not going to, you know, in 50-50 chance, like, why should I stick my neck out for this, you know, whatever. But then I look back, and I'm like saying, oh, my gosh, you know, it's totally wrong. I wouldn't, you know, I just wanted to make sure.
Well, if the death certificate says dementia, you know, there's also different levels of dementia you have to be concerned about.
True, yeah.
Hey, listen, I've got one more call I need to take before the end of the show. So
okay. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Let's go to John in Bradenton.
Hi, Joe. One other question. If I know that I'm going to be going into a nursing home, say within 2 weeks, the legal for me to transfer all my assets to the name of, say, my executor or my trustee?
No, that would be... Well, no, you wouldn't... You can't transfer because there'd be a, if you transferred it to anybody, that'd be a look-back period of disqualification.
Okay.
I have a full-time Medicaid attorney, John, that would be glad to discuss with you some strategies on protecting your asset and maximizing what you can get from government benefits.
Okay. Can I contact him out there at Lakewood Ranch?
Why don't you call me, and we'll set up for him to call you and discuss it on the phone and then tell you what he needs if you're interested in to proceed. And then we can set up a meeting in Lakewood Ranch. Just call my office number at 1-800-226-3529.
Okay. All right,
extension 200. All right. I'd be glad to try to get you pointed in the right direction.
Okay,
hey, thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every Saturday morning during this time period. Glad to be here. If you have a legal question, you can contact me. I'll be glad to try to help you. 1-800-226-3529 or send me an email at joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. Hey, you have a great weekend. Be safe and so long.